I want the back slaps. That's all funny. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. Park right there. I want all that stuff. But every now and then, I'll say something from this pulpit that silence. If you have your Bible this morning, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and that is verses 1 through 8. If you're using a Pew Bible, that's on page 1281. So I want to mention before I speak this morning, Zach Chadbourne is headed off to college, and I'm told this is his last Sunday, and so obviously that's a big move for him, and so we're excited for what the Lord has for him. So Zach, don't let the door hit you on the way out, and we'll be talking about you while you're gone. If God calls you to preach while you're down there, that would be even better. So, and then also, yesterday we celebrated Mildred Stalker's 90th birthday at her house, and her family is here. And so we're going to salute Mildred on three. One, two, three. Salute. And that is, we are so happy for you and how God has blessed you and seeing all your family around you and stuff. And so congratulations. I hope I never experience that. So, I don't know if I should have said that or not. The Lord's coming back before I turn that age, I hope. So I believe he is. And we've been praying for Scott and Mary Bowens. Mary had brain surgery, and she is with us this morning, and God is good, and he answers prayer. So, with that being said, why don't you stand with me, please, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. And the Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's key. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables or lies. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Our Heavenly Father, our time is limited this morning in the subject that we will undertake. I pray your Holy Spirit would move amongst us, that we would have our hearts and our ears open to the things that you have to say to us. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week two weeks ago, we were on this topic. The question was asked, so what's with the church? Christ said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not be able to prevail against it. The church is a mighty army of called out people that are believers and followers, born again people after Jesus Christ. When you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you don't become a member of the local church. That's a different step in your progress. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become part of the ecclesia, the Greek word meaning a called out group of people that are followers of Jesus Christ. Even in the Old Testament, the New Testament refers to the people of God, the Jews in the wilderness, as the church in the wilderness. That was a called out group of people, the Jews, and obviously they had their own mission that they were serving. But let me tell you something, Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you know that he is in your heart and you live and breathe for him, you are part of that mighty army that is a force for good for Jesus Christ. You are part of the church. Now, for the sake of time, there's other things I could say about this, but I want to tell you this. Satan and the world hates the church. They can't stand us. We see evidence of that everywhere, every day, different times when we want to stand for good and evil bounces out and we feel like we're in a battle. And the Bible says that we are soldiers for Christ. We're called into a battle. And there are times where it certainly seems like we are in the midst of a conflict trying to stand for our faith. And you know what? That's not going to change until Jesus Christ comes back. So, what's the purpose of the church? Well, we said, obviously, 2 weeks ago to preach the word. We are stewards of the word of God. You're not going to find a group of people other than a private Bible study or certain things going on. You don't find people quoting the Bible at Walmart. You're not going to find it in any local assembly or some group or whatever or some association. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a club. It is not something we get together and all get along and just hug one another and talk about this and that and knit and purl and make quilts and things. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ is to talk about God's word, to preach it faithfully, to lift up Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so our job is to lift up Christ, to live this life. And the second thing that the purpose of the church is we are stewards of God's word, number one, and we are stewards of truth. Amen. Stewards of truth. Say that with me. Stewards of truth. Because I'm telling you, can we agree that truth is under assault? And it's scary. So let's take a look at where truth was questioned. If you have your Bible and it's in your lap, turn with me to John chapter 18. We're going to look at a case where truth was questioned. John chapter 18, in verse number 28, this is where truth was on trial. Jesus Christ is standing before Pilate. In verse number 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas, however you want to say it, unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? What's wrong with this guy? They answered him, verse 30, if he were not a malefactor, if he were not a criminal, we would not have bothered him. You can just assume he's guilty because we said so. Verse 31, then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it's not lawful for us to put a man to death. See, the deal was he was convicted before he was tried. They wanted a capital offense put against him, which the Jews had no authority to do. They could judge him according to their own laws, but the one thing they could not do was put a man to death. They needed Rome to do that for them. And so they bring him to Pilate with the purpose of, you need to sentence this guy to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled in verse 32, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, said, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews, delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Watch this. Thou there sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? You know, politicians are still twisting the truth. I think Pilate had been in that environment for so long, he was just trying to figure out what's up and what's down, what's right, what's left. Who really stands for the truth? And I think the same question is being asked in Washington, D.C. today. What is truth? Fact is, I don't even know if they're answering the question. Truth has so long sailed from that establishment that they're no longer looking for truth. They're looking for expediency. And the expediency is just doing whatever I need to do to solidify my base of power so I can continue to live in the lap of luxury at the cost of others for as long as I possibly can. Now, if that seems cynical to you, maybe that it is, but that's what it has turned into. And it's the same thing going on in Washington, D.C. that was going on in the halls of Pilate's Judgment Hall on that day. They're just trying to figure out, what do I do today that will allow me to be here tomorrow? And truth was not even part of the objective any longer. And Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Well, I want you to know, friend, the church is the steward of truth. Truth exists in this room right here. And the reason why it exists in this room is because we follow this book. This is the book of truth. There's no lies in it. Everything from start to finish, from Genesis to the maps, we like to say, is truth. This book, you can believe it, you can apply it to your life, and you can follow it. And the church is the stewards of truth. And it is our responsibility to be speakers of truth, regardless of what obstacles may present themselves. But it's interesting as you go on, Pilate obviously asked the question, what is truth? Truth. Say that with me. What is truth? I think there are many people asking that question today because Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's the twister of truth. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, and if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in your heart through the power of God Almighty, it's very difficult in a lying, sinful world to determine just exactly what truth is. But I want you to know there are two groups in this narrative this morning in John chapter 18, three really, two groups and one individual. And so obviously we have, as Jesus is standing before Pilate, we have the liars, which are the Jews. There is no fault in him. Pilate himself said, I find no fault in this guy. Well, you're not going to. He was perfect. There were the liars, which were the Jews. There was Pilate, who was caught up in the whole thing, because you got to remember, Pilate just wanted to keep his power for as long as he could keep it. That's the motivation of politicians for a long, long time, sad to say. And then, obviously, there was Jesus, the author of the entire episode and the source of truth. And the question is still being asked 2,000 years later, what is truth? Well, the definition of truth, if you were to look it up in an old Webster's dictionary, it would say something like this. The true state of facts or things. The duty of a court justice is to discover the truth. Witnesses are sworn to declare the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I would also like to add to that definition that there is no expiration date on truth. If it was true yesterday, it's true today, and it will be true tomorrow. Truth never expires. Once true, it will always be true. Truth does not change. It doesn't vacillate. You can hear a message from God's word preached decades or centuries ago, and it will still be relevant today as it was then. I'm a huge fan of Adrian Rogers. I probably don't quote him as often as I should, but Adrian Rogers went on to heaven in 2005. His program, Love Worth Finding, is still broadcast. You can watch it. You can pull it up on YouTube or whatever. He has a very effective ministry still going on 20 years later. Any one of his messages that you listen to, huge library. I go out in my garage. I have a TV in my garage. People seem to think that that's odd. I'm not sitting there watching soap operas. If those things are still even on, I don't know. But I go out there and I turn on YouTube and I turn on Adrian Rogers and I just pull up whatever message comes up. And that man, having been in heaven now for 20 years, his messages are still as relevant as they have ever been. Truth does not expire. The battle for truth has been going on since the Garden of Eden when the serpent asked, "Yea, hath God said?" You're in the book of John. Go with me to John chapter 8 and verse 44. And you'll notice in John 8, 44 and verse 45, Jesus is speaking. And he's talking to the religious people of the day, the Pharisees, and he says this. Now, this isn't the way to win friends and influence people. Before I read these verses, I want to say a lot of times, a preacher, a person of truth, sometimes I have to say things that you're not going to want to hear. Now, I don't know if that's included in this message this morning, but a lot of times in my notes, there are parts in my message that I'm dreading to get to because I know you won't think, way to go, preacher. That's good. That's good. Amen, brother. I want the back slaps. That's all funny. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good, preacher. Park right there. I want all that stuff. But every now and then, I'll say something from this pulpit that... silence. And you know that I've stepped on some toes. Jesus was not afraid to step on some toes. In John chapter 8, he's talking to the religious crowd of the day, and he says to them, this is a religious crowd. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Boy, I bet they were just thinking, park right there, preacher. Unload that truck. That sounds so good. No, he was walking all over them. Because every now and then, as a church, if we truly stand for truth, then we have to say some hard things from time to time. If you're living together and you're not married, you're living in sin. That's not popular today. If two guys are going together and they call themselves a couple, you are living in sin. That is wrong. If you die without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will go to hell. Amen. That is not popular. People don't like that. You are called to speak the truth in love. Now, sometimes in love, have you ever truly loved someone and in the process of loving them, you're bawling your eyes out? I have. I have. It ain't fun. And every now and then, Christian, there are going to be times where you're called on to say the truth in love and it's killing you to do it. But we're called to do that. The church is the source of truth because the church is the steward of God's word and the living God. And if you and I do not stand for him and stand for truth as stewards of truth, hell and all of Satan's world outside is certainly not going to stand for the truth. They don't know it. They don't understand it. And they just laugh at us when we're crying over people dying and going to hell and they think it's funny. Well, I'm not laughing. Christians ought not to be. We are stewards of the truth that God has trusted us with. Can we agree that as you listen to the news and the politicians and the people in leadership today, it's hard to discern who is being truthful? One of the great frustrations I have is that people will say there's no difference between the candidate on one party and the candidate of another party when it comes to politics. One great frustration I have as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that people just want us to just stick to the gospel, just stick to the Bible. Don't talk about current events. You're supposed to teach the word. Well, I don't know about you, but my outlook on the Bible and on the gospel and on Jesus Christ and reaching my neighbors and trying to get them not to die and go to hell forces me, whether I want to or not, to be involved in current events. When another party is telling you it's all right for you to get pregnant and kill your unborn child before it's born, and we are pushing that to the edge where now, in the state of Maine, it may even be legal to kill your child after it's born. It's a close call. Right up until 9 months of birth in the state of Maine, you can have your child killed. And supposedly, that's just selection. That's up to the mother. Do not get involved in that. You have no business. That's between her body and her doctor. Well, what about the body that's growing inside of her? Whose business is that? And I'll tell you what, whose business that is, that's God's business. He created that life. He gave that life. And he's the one that should take that life when the time comes. And for anyone else to shorten the life of an individual, regardless of whether they're sick or whether they're damaged physically or whatever you want to call it, anything different than God taking that child is murder. Amen. And I'll tell you what, that's not popular. And it's painful. And you and I are called to walk and talk in a society that hates life. It does. And so what happens to the church? Well, obviously, for 99% of the people in this room, as the pastor of this church, you do not have any problem with anything I've just said. There could be a handful of people here this morning that I've gotten under your skin and you don't like it. And you know what? Why don't you pray to the Lord about that? Talk to him. If you wish and you really can't stand me, ask God to strike me dead. You know, you could go ahead. I'll give you the privilege of doing that. I got good news. God strikes me dead. I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? You can't beat the Christian faith. You and I are the checkpoint for truth. And if we don't stand for it, and if we don't share it, and if we don't talk about it, don't think for a second the world's going to. Because they don't even understand truth. They don't know it. They're like Pilate. Oh, what is truth? I'm glad you asked. I can tell you what truth is. Truth is this book right here. Truth lives in my heart in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And you're looking at a room full of free people headed for heaven. I'm telling you, death excites me. Now, I don't get to choose it. Not up to me to shorten life. I can't do any of those things, but every day I get a little bit closer to heaven. I can't wait to go there. I got loved ones over there. David Jeremiah said, his dad said, and now David Jeremiah is saying it himself, you know, the older you get, the fewer friends you have here, more friends you have over there. It's true. Now I'm still real young, you know, so I got a lot of friends here. I got a young wife. I got to hang on for her. But you know what? Only in Christ can we talk like this. And there's a lost and dying world out there that needs that message, that feels hopeless. And the church is the source of truth. And we're out of time. We'll talk about this again on the same subject. But I want you to know, as the source of truth, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So are you here this morning and you don't know the one who is the truth? You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't, he's waiting for an invitation to be part of your life. And it's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. And I'm telling you, I trusted Jesus Christ at 4 years old. I have lived in the confidence of knowing that I'm a Christian my entire life, but for 4 years old and before four, obviously you know the math on that. You don't remember a whole lot before you're four. I did it early. I can say you can do it early and often. You don't need to do it often. You only need to do it one time, but you need to trust Christ. In case you can't tell, if you read the papers at all or if you're following the news, this world's going to the hell in a handbasket. You don't have to go with it. You can believe in him.